Welcome to this deep dive. In this lesson, we're exploring foundations of digital collaboration. If you've watched the overview, this will build on that. If not, you'll still be able to follow along. Now, let's go further by exploring practical examples, future workplace relevance, responsible use, and how you can build confidence with this skill. So to kick us off, I mean, when we talk about digital collaboration, it's kind of easy to just think, oh, I know how to use Zoom. I know how to log in. So I'm good to go, right?
Right. Yeah. And that is exactly the trap so many people fall into. They think just because they can send a message on a platform, they've mastered collaboration. But I like to use this analogy. Imagine you're organizing a massive fleet of airplanes.
Okay, a fleet of airplanes.
Yeah, like dozens of them. You all have the exact same destination, and you know, you've got these incredibly skilled pilots flying them. But here's the catch. Nobody bothered to build an air traffic control tower.
Oh, wow. That sounds like a disaster waiting to happen.
It's terrifying, right? You're flying blind, totally hoping you don't collide with the other planes. And honestly, that is exactly what is happening in most remote and hybrid work environments today.
Just planes flying around with no direction.
Exactly. And it's why so many group projects or even, you know, major professional corporate initiatives just completely crash and burn. We assume the tools do the collaborating for us, but we're missing the tower.
We're missing the tower. I love that image, though it is a bit panic-inducing. But, I mean, it captures the stakes perfectly, right? Because the fallout from weak collaboration, it isn't just a minor inconvenience. It's not just an annoying email.
No, not at all.
When those planes collide, or, you know, when digital teamwork breaks down, the symptoms are pretty catastrophic. We're talking massive communication breakdowns, completely missed deadlines, and ultimately just a heavily reduced quality in whatever project you're actually trying to build.
Yeah, and the really insidious part, I think, is how quietly the breakdown starts. Like, it's almost always this cascading failure.
Right. It doesn't start with an explosion.
Exactly. It rarely starts with, like, some massive argument on a video call. It usually starts with just one teammate missing a crucial update that was buried in some crowded chat thread.
Oh, yeah. The endless chat thread.
We've all been there.
Yeah.
And because they missed that one tiny update, they do their part of the project wrong.
Yeah.
And then, well, that leads to a missed deadline.
And then the whole team is stressed.
Right. The missed deadline leads to a frustrated team making these rushed, poor decisions. And suddenly, the actual work, like the core product you were supposed to be delivering to your client or your professor, it suffers immensely.
Yeah, I was actually trying to visualize what that feels like on a, you know, a human level. And the best analogy I could come up with is a band.
Oh, I like that. A band.
Yeah. So picture this. You've got a drummer, a bassist, a guitarist, and a singer.
Okay.
And they're all incredibly talented, right? They're all trying to play the exact same song together. But, and here's the kicker, they are locked in separate, completely soundproof rooms.
Oh, man. So they can't hear each other's rhythm at all.
Nothing. Zero. The drummer is playing at like 120 beats per minute. The singer is on a totally different verse. And the guitarist is just kind of hoping for the best.
Just shredding in total silence.
Exactly. And they might be sweating, working incredibly hard, putting in all this effort. But the output is going to be total chaos. And to me, that is what weak digital collaboration is. It's just a bunch of talented people in soundproof digital rooms making noise, not music.
That's spot on. Making noise, not music. And to push that analogy further, mastering this skill digital collaboration is really about knocking down those soundproof walls.
Right. Letting everyone hear the beat.
Exactly. Because when you establish strong digital collaboration, you see a dramatic, measurable improvement in four key areas. You see it in teamwork, productivity, creativity, and problem solving.
Which are pretty much the four things you need to succeed in any job.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you think about the global shift toward remote and hybrid work, or even just digitally enabled campus learning for students, this isn't some temporary trend anymore.
No, it's definitely not.
This is the new architecture of how humans work together. Your personal productivity, and frankly, your overall value in any modern organization is almost entirely tied to your ability to be a cohesive part of that virtual band.
Yeah.
Strong collaboration means you can creatively solve deeply complex problems with people who might be sitting thousands of miles away from you.
So the goal for you listening to this is to figure out how to avoid ever getting trapped in one of those soundproof rooms, right?
Exactly.
And to do that, I think we need to understand the structural foundation of how people actually work together online. The frameworks we're exploring highlight three essential core concepts that make this whole thing possible.
Right. So let's break those down. The first concept is simply collaboration itself, which in this context is defined as teams actively working together towards shared goals. It sounds foundational, like almost overly simple.
Right. It does sound a bit obvious. Like, obviously, a team collaborates.
Right. But that shared goal part is the absolute North Star. If the goal isn't defined and shared clearly, people end up working on competing priorities. They're playing different songs.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
The second concept is shared responsibility. This highlights the necessity of accountability from all members.
Accountability, that's a big one.
Huge. In a digital space, if only half the people feel responsible for the outcome, the project collapses. You can't carry dead weight online as easily as you can in an office where people are just, sitting there.
Yeah, that's true. And the third one.
The third concept is digital coordination, and this is the actual mechanics. The use of online systems to organize tasks, manage workflows, and structure communication.
Okay, but wait, let me push back on that a little bit. Isn't digital coordination just a matter of picking the right software? I mean, almost every team I know uses, like Slack or Microsoft Teams, Asana, Google Workspace.
Right.
But honestly, the constant pinging, the notifications, switching between five different apps, it often feels like the tools are creating more noise and actually getting in the way of the work. Are we really sure more software is the answer here?
No, and that is the exact trap almost every modern organization falls into at some point.
They just buy more tools.
Exactly. They think purchasing a shiny new piece of software will magically fix a deeply broken team dynamic.
Yeah.
But if you look closely at effective strategies for digital coordination, you realize very quickly that the solution isn't the tool itself. The tool is completely agnostic.
Right, it doesn't know what you're doing.
The solution is the method and the human strategy behind the tool.
So, okay, how do we build that method? If it's not just, downloading Slack, what is actually coordinating the team?
So think of good digital coordination like an asynchronous relay race.
Okay, a relay race.
Yeah. In a traditional relay race, you have to hand the baton to the next runner at the exact same moment, running at the exact same speed.
Right, physical handoff.
But digital work is asynchronous. You might be working in London while your teammate is fast asleep in Tokyo. You can't hand them the baton directly.
Because they aren't there.
Exactly. So the team needs an agreed-upon zone, like a shared platform, where the baton, which is the task, is seamlessly placed so the next person can pick it up without dropping it.
Ah.
And that requires human strategy. Teams must clarify roles and responsibilities early, and they need to use those shared digital platforms consistently.
Consistency.
Consistency is the absolute secret sauce here, not jumping randomly between five different apps. I mean, a beautifully designed task management app is completely useless if the team hasn't actually agreed on who is responsible for updating the status column.
Yeah, if nobody moves the ticket too, it's
Right.
not really helping anyone.
Exactly. The
Yeah.
tool always serves the strategy.
Yeah. Looking at the real-world case study we have for this lesson, this dynamic becomes incredibly clear. It features a student group that was really struggling with project coordination. Like, things were just falling through the cracks. People were getting frustrated. The project was stalling.
Classic group project nightmare.
Yeah, exactly. But they didn't just try to work harder to fix it. They managed to completely turn things around by changing their system.
And analyzing the mechanics of that turnaround is crucial for understanding how to apply this to your own life. Because what they experience, that frustration, that is exactly what happens in Fortune 500 companies every single day.
Right. They realized the chaos was structural, so they introduced shared task tracking and established clearer digital communication routines.
Let's break down why that specific structural change works so well.
Yeah.
By introducing shared task tracking, they created what we call a single source of truth.
A single source of truth. I love that term.
It's essential. Before that, progress was probably buried in individual email inboxes or like personal notes on someone's laptop.
Yeah. Hey, did you finish that thing? Yeah, it's on my hard drive.
Right. But by moving the tasks to a shared visual board, everyone could suddenly see exactly what was done, what was pending, and who was actively working on what.
So it completely removes the guesswork.
It removes the guesswork and it removes the anxiety of the unknown.
And the communication routines probably stopped all that notification fatigue we talked about. I can
Okay.
only imagine the before state was just a nightmare of random group texts at like midnight.
or endless chaotic email threads where everyone is replying all with different versions of document.
Right.
You know, final version two, actually final.
Oh, the worst.
Yeah. But by establishing clear routines, they created predictable windows for updates. They basically decided, hey, we only post major updates in this specific channel, and we do it before 5 p.m.
Okay. So they set boundaries.
Yes. That creates psychological safety. You don't have to constantly monitor your phone out of fear that you're missing something vital.
So they basically built the air traffic control tower for their project. They gave everyone a radar screen.
That's exactly it. Mm. And if we map this student scenario directly into a future workplace context for you, listening right now, the parallels are absolute.
How so?
Well, when hiring managers are looking for young professionals entering a digitally enabled future, they aren't just looking for someone who knows the subject matter.
Like, technical knowledge isn't enough anymore.
No, technical knowledge is just the baseline. They're desperately looking for someone who can shift a team from chaotic email threads to organized, shared task tracking.
Wow.
The ability to enter a noisy digital environment,
yeah,
clarify roles, set up a single source of truth, and bring order to digital chaos, that is one of the most highly sought after professional skills today.
It's almost about being the person who acts as the multiplier for the team's effectiveness. Like, you make everyone else better just by how you organize the digital space.
Yes, a multiplier.
I love that. But, you know, this brings up a tension that I think a lot of people wrestle with, and it dips into the responsible use aspect of collaboration. Specifically, I want to talk about accountability and ethics, which ties directly into the shared responsibility concept.
Yeah, this is often the point where people get a little uncomfortable because the mechanics of software are easy compared to the mechanics of human accountability.
Exactly. One of the core questions we have to grapple with here is, how does accountability actually improve teamwork? Because honestly, doesn't it just feel like micromanaging or policing your peers?
Nobody wants to be the hall monitor.
Right. Nobody wants to be the one constantly nagging people. Hey, did you check off your task? Hey, where's your part?
It's a very natural fear, especially when you're just stepping into professional environments or working with your peers. Hmm. But we have to fundamentally reframe what accountability means in a digital context.
Okay, how do we reframe it?
We need to view accountability as an ethical, responsible practice rather than a punitive or controlling one. Think about the opposite scenario for a second. Think about what happens when there is zero accountability.
Okay.
When roles are vaguely defined and deadlines are treated as loose suggestions, what is the inevitable outcome?
Usually one or two people end up carrying the entire weight of the project. Like, they look around, realize the plane is going down, and they just take over everything to prevent it from failing.
The classic group project hero.
Yep, been there.
And while they might save the grade or save the client presentation in the short term, the long-term result is always severe burnout and deep resentment. The team dynamic is totally poisoned.
Absolutely.
So by clarifying roles early and holding each other to agreed-upon deadlines, you aren't policing anyone. You're actually creating a reliable digital environment.
It's almost like setting the rules of the game so everyone can play fairly.
Exactly. It is about fulfilling team agreements so that the clear systems do the heavy lifting rather than relying on one person's sheer willpower. Accountability ensures that no single team member is forced to carry an unfair, unethical load.
You know, that completely flips the script. Accountability is actually an act of deep respect.
Yes.
Respect. Because when you update your task status or deliver your part on time, you're essentially saying to your teammates, I value your time, I value your weekend, and your well-being enough to do exactly what I said I was going to do when I said I would do it.
Right.
That changes the whole vibe from micromanagement to mutual support.
It is the foundation of trust. And here is the reality of this future workplace. In a digital environment where you cannot physically see your teammates working at their desks, trust is the only currency that keeps a project moving forward.
Right, because you can't just look over the cubicle wall.
Exactly. Without visibility, trust relies entirely on predictable reliability. You do what you said you would do, and you communicate clearly when you can't.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we've covered the stakes, the core mechanisms, and the ethical mindset needed to thrive. Now we really need to look at the practical application. How do you, the listener, actually build this skill starting today?
Yes, let's get practical.
There is a really practical blueprint for this, creating a team collaboration plan. And I highly encourage you to treat this as your personal checklist the next time you start a project.
A team collaboration plan is your literal blueprint for avoiding the soundproof rooms we talked about.
What's in it?
They have four necessary components, and you should define all four before anyone starts doing the actual work.
Okay, what's component number one?
First, defining roles.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't just about giving people fancy titles. It is about extremely specific task ownership.
Like who actually does what?
Exactly. Who is the primary researcher? Who is responsible for formatting the final slide deck? Who actually clicks submit or sends the final email to the client?
That's huge, because if everyone thinks they're doing it, nobody is doing it.
Precisely. The second component is establishing communication methods.
Ah, to stop the notification fatigue.
Right. You have to agree on the medium. For example, deciding that quick, urgent questions go in the chat app, but deep structural debates, those require a video call.
No more fighting over text message.
Exactly. It's so inefficient.
Yeah.
Now, the third component is setting up workflow systems.
That's the single source of truth.
Yes. Where do the files actually live? What is the naming convention for documents so people aren't searching for final version to actually final? How do we visually track progress from to do to doing to done?
Got it. And the fourth component?
The fourth component ties directly back to our discussion on respect.
Right.
Aligning on accountability expectations.
What does that look like in practice?
It means asking, what is the protocol if someone is going to miss a deadline? Because life happens, right? People get sick, blockers come up.
Yeah, you can't plan for everything.
Right. So how do you communicate that constructively so the team can adjust rather than just going silent and hoping nobody notices?
That is such a crucial part of the plan. It builds resilience into the whole system.
It really does. And to ground this in reality, these four components are what bring tools like Microsoft Teams, Slack, and Discord to life.
So it all comes back to the tools, but with the strategy first.
Exactly. These platforms aren't just chat rooms. When used correctly, they are virtual offices where your team collaboration plan lives and breathes.
Yes. Let's talk about how that actually looks in the software. Because if you have your plan, you can go into a tool like Slack and actually design the architecture of your team's workflow.
You're building the office.
Right.
Yeah.
You can create specific dedicated channels for specific topics, like one channel just for project updates and another for casual chat so the important stuff doesn't get buried under memes.
Yep.
You can literally pin your document with the role definitions to the top of the channel so everyone has constant access to it. You can even set up automated reminders to check in on tasks.
See, there you go. You are taking the human strategy and embedding it into the software's functionality.
Yeah.
The tool becomes the enforcer of the team's agreements. And that is the exact moment you transition from just using an app to truly engaging in digital coordination.
It's really empowering when you realize you actually have control over the digital environment rather than letting the digital environment control you.
It's a game changer. But, you know, before we wrap up this exploration, we should acknowledge that teamwork and digital collaboration, they are deep, complex fields of study.
Absolutely. We're just scratching the surface here.
Right. The dynamics of how human beings align or fail to align are endlessly fascinating. And for those of you who want to dive deeper into the psychology and structure of effective teams, there are some incredible resources out there.
Any specific recommendations?
Yeah, specifically the text Team of Teams, The Five Dysfunctions of a Team, and Crucial Conversations are highly recommended foundational readings. They provide brilliant frameworks for understanding team dynamics at a much deeper level.
I highly recommend checking those out. They really shift your perspective.
They do.
Well, to close out our deep dive today, I want to leave you with a core reflection prompt to mull over as you step back into your own work or your own studies. Here it is. How can I become a more reliable and effective digital team member?
That's the perfect question.
Think about the very next project you have coming up. How might simply pausing on day one to clarify your own role and maybe proposing a shared task tracker completely transform the experience for everyone involved? How can you be the person who builds the air traffic control tower?
That is exactly the mindset to adopt. And I strongly encourage you to stay curious, remain responsible to your teams, and keep yourself future ready by practicing these coordination skills intentionally.
Yeah.
Because the digital workplace is going to constantly evolve. You know, your new tools will always emerge.
Yeah.
But your human adaptability and your structural mindset, those are your greatest, most enduring assets.
Absolutely. Make sure to review the end of module study guide and complete the workbook activities to really lock this knowledge in and test your new frameworks. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive.
Thank you. Keep making great music with your digital teams.